Chapter 3. The Art of Unpacking. Once everyone calms down, I explore the rest of the cabin. The cubby room is a large, rectangular space filled with, you guessed it, wooden cubbies. Some of the cubbies are already stuffed with clothes, though most of them are empty. Duffel bags are piled in the center of the room. Oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. I'm expected to change right here and prance around naked in front of all these strangers? They're going to see my deformity. From inside the cubby room, I can peek into bunk 15. Instead of two bunk beds and one single, it has three bunk beds. The cubby room leads to the bathroom, which I realize I very badly have to use. Yes, the bathroom. I can change in there, can't I? I squeeze through the girls and the bags and step inside. There are three stalls on my left and four sinks on my right. But where are the showers? Beyond the bathroom is a dangling white sheet. Maybe the showers are on the other side. I pull aside the sheet to take a look. You can't come in here, snaps a dark-haired older teen who appears to be napping on one of two single beds. It's the counselor's room. The sheet drops out of my hand like a hot potato. Not that I would ever hold a hot potato. Who came up with that expression anyway? The girl must be Penelope, the counselor for bunk 15. Good thing I got Deb. Sorry, I mutter. I vaguely remember Allison mentioning showers being on upper field. Does that mean there are no showers in the cabins? I retreat into one of the stalls, one of the tiny stalls. There's no way I could ever change my clothes in here. I lock the door, cover the seat with flimsy one-ply toilet paper, bang my knees against the door, and pee. I also read all the graffiti on the back of the door. Linda D. seems to still really love John C. Once done and out of the stall, I smile at myself in the mirror, pump some of the communal soap into my palms, wash my hands, then dry them on someone else's black towel and look around. I think I'm finally getting my bearings. The cabin is shaped like the letter T. First, you have the two sleeping rooms, which both lead into the cubby room, which leads into the bathroom, which leads into the counselor's room. No problemo. Now, back to the cubby room, or, shall I say, the disaster zone. There are bags, clothes, and girls everywhere. I try to tune out the loud chattering. My butt got so much wider over the year. You have to see my adorable running shoes. Did you get your belly pierced? While I locate my two bags. Of course, I find one of them under a pile of others and practically break my arm yanking it out. I don't understand how I'm expected to keep this cubby organized. Honestly, how am I supposed to cram 8 t-shirts, 3 pairs of shorts, 2 pairs of jeans, 2 pairs of sweatpants, 1 pair of black pants, dry clean only, so they'd better not get dirty, 2 long-sleeve shirts, 2 sweatshirts, 12 pairs of socks, 12 pairs of underwear, 8 bras, 3 bathing suits, 1 jean jacket, 1 pair of sneakers, 1 pair of flip-flops, 1 pair of cute strappy black sandals, 9 towels, 3 hand, 4 beach, 2 shower, 1 alternate pillowcase, 2 alternate twin-sized sheets, 1 flat and 1 fitted, both boring and white, 2 laundry bags, 1 invisibility shield, aka enchanted umbrella. Let me tell you, it was no easy feat sneaking this past my mother's snooping eyes to pack, though it's a good thing it becomes invisible only when cloaking someone. Otherwise, how would I ever find it? 1 bathrobe into a space the size of my school locker. What I need is some sort of organizing spell. While waiting for the room to clear, I brainstorm, trying to come up with rhymes. Not that spells have to rhyme, but all the coolest spells in A squared are in verse, and I'm not about to take a chance with my wardrobe. Now, what should I try? I want to zap my clothes into being folded neatly, the way they look on a store shelf. What rhymes with zap? Rap? Tap? Map? I got it. I open my bag and shove all my stuff into the cubby. Then, when the room is pretty much emptied out, I stand right in front of my cubby, blocking any potential snoops, close my eyes, focus, ram my hands inside the cubby, wiggle my fingers, and say, "With this zap, let my clothes look like they do at the Gap." Here comes the rush of cold air, and presto! I step back and study my creation. Oh my God! My clothes are folded into flawless squares and, oh yes, color coordinated too. From light to dark like a rainbow. Yes! I unfold a flattened shirt. It's a pale green and white-striped short-sleeved V-neck top. That doesn't belong to me. That doesn't have my Rachel Weinstein Camp label. Instead, a price tag is dangling from its neck. Did I poof up new clothes? I look at my now empty duffel bag with longing. Where art thou, O favorite jeans? What am I going to do? Are they all gone forever? Even my cute new bikini? Although, maybe these clothes are even better. Designer clothes. I shake out the shirt with excitement. A glance at the label tells me that the shirt is a women's large. I hunt through the clothes, looking for a piece of clothing that might fit. Oh, good. Here's something smaller. Much smaller. It's a size one girl's jean dress with a lace trim. A toddler size one. I said Gap, not baby Gap, didn't I? I frantically search through my cubby, looking for something, anything I can wear. A linen maternity skirt? No. Boys' cargo pants? Also no. Men's black and white checkered boxer shorts? Definitely not. I wish I had my old stuff back. But since the world of magic tends to like exchanges, my real clothes are probably heaped in a big mess on a shelf at a suburban shopping mall. I'm making my new bed, a brand new top of a brand new bunk bed, oh joy, when a voice comes from the sky. Attention all campers and counselors. Attention all campers and counselors. Please head to the mess hall for supper. What was that? I ask. It's Steph, Allison says. Or Steph, Morgan says. Don't be mean, Allison says. It's not her fault she has a lisp.
You mean lisp?
Morgan says. Steph is the head counselor's sister, Allison explains. She's been running the office and doing the announcements for years. I look down at my new Gap jeans with rolled-up cuffs because they are two sizes too long, and my too-tight scoop-necked shirt. The girls are giving me weird looks, but there's nothing I can do until I can get Miri to swing by with a spell reversal, which she hopefully can, if she brought the enchanted crystal to camp. I was kind of wanting to look my most gorgeous for my first raft sighting, but this is the best I can do. Changing in front of all the other girls was completely humiliating. They all threw their clothes off like they were starring in some kind of camp porn movie. I kept my eyes on the dusty floor and changed quickly and furiously. "Let's bust a move, girls!" Deb hollers while stomping and clomping through our bunk. I follow my bunkmates onto the porch and down the tree-lined gravel road to the mess hall. Along the way, we pass a few green cabins on our right and the waterfront on our left. Even when it's calm, the lake scares me, as do the tied-up sailboats. At some point, I'll probably have to mention my nautical inexperience to Deb. But one issue at a time. First, I have to make my way to the mess hall. The chaotic, ear-splitting, overwhelming mess hall. Our bunk's table is all the way in the rear, by the back window. The kitchen is near the entrance. Why are we so far from the food? I ask.
All the lions sit back here, Allison answers.
The wooden walls are decorated with hand-painted plaques that make me wish I had been coming to camp forever. Army versus Navy, Color War 1975. Empire versus Rebels, Color War 1989. 50s versus 60s, 2001. I've heard that color war is like mock Olympics, but I've never done one before. Fun! Any minute I realize I'm going to see Raph. I take a deep breath and try not to obsess. When I get to our table, which is right next to bunk 15's, I scoot onto the bench up against the window so that I can keep my eye out for he who should not be obsessed over. On the table are a pile of cutlery, a pile of paper plates, a stack of styrofoam cups, two yellow pitchers filled with some sort of purple liquid, a basket of sliced French bread, and a basket of mini peanut butter and jelly packets.
Want some bug juice?
Carly asks from across the table. I assume that's the purple drink in the plastic pitcher and not some sort of disgusting smoothie.
Sure, thanks.
My stomach grumbles, so I nab a piece of bread. I'm wondering where the food is when I spot Deb in the long line of counselors going into the kitchen. When she finally returns, she places two large plastic bowls of food in the center of the table, one filled with steaming mac and cheese, the other filled with salad. Allison and Poodles leap up to make themselves a plate. And that's when I see him. Raph. My breath gets lost somewhere between my lips and my lungs. I think I might have swallowed it. He's still dark and handsome and lean and handsome and... did I say handsome? His dark hair seems so soft and touchable. He looks the same as he always does, but he's the summer version in a thin white t-shirt, which shows off his lean, muscled arms, and khaki shorts and navy flip-flops, which show off his lean, muscled legs. He's standing in the doorframe talking to a scruffy-looking blonde guy near our age while looking around the room. Is he looking for me? He might be looking for me. Please say he broke up with Melissa because he likes me. It must be me. It must. Please say he's looking for me. Maybe I should wave. Nah, I don't want to be too obvious. But I want him to see me. But I don't want him to think I was looking for him. But I want him to think I'm glad to see him. But not too glad. Don't obsess. Don't obsess. Don't obsess. Contact. Yes, our eyes have made contact. He sees me. By George, he's smiling. He's walking over to me. I start to stand up.
Freeze!
Screams Deb. Huh? I look around our table to discover that my four bunkmates are frozen in place. Yes, frozen. As though they're on a TV show and someone has just pressed pause on my TiVo. Carly is in mid-peanut butter and jelly bite. Allison is standing in mid-mac and cheese scoop. I must look confused because Deb orders, Rachel, freeze! Am I under arrest? I freeze just in case. Since I was in the middle of standing up to greet Raph, this isn't easy. Raph, meanwhile, laughs when he sees me and mouths, I'll talk to you later.
No, 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 talk to me now. I was so close.
When a counselor calls freeze, you have to freeze, Deb explains. First person who moves has to stack.
I don't know what stack is, but since my four bunkmates are remaining in their frozen state, I'm assuming it's something I don't want to be doing. So I stay frozen. Unfortunately, staying frozen is becoming increasingly painful. It feels like I'm in the middle of one of those squats they force us to do in gym. Poodles was about to pour herself a glass of juice, and now her hand is shaking from holding up the pitcher. Carly is still in mid-peanut butter and jelly bite. Deb stands up and balances a paper plate on Poodles' head.
My butt is majorly hurting. Need to sit down. Is this over yet? When is someone going to move?
Deb then opens one of the strawberry jellies, dips her finger inside, and dabs it on Morgan's nose. Morgan cracks up.
"You stuck,"
Deb tells her, howling with laughter. The girls resume their activity. I rest my butt back on the bench and ask, "What is stack exactly?"
"Cleaning the table," Allison says, returning to her mac and cheese. "Counselors call freeze at every meal. Whoever moves first stacks. Or they call pig. That's when they go like this." She puts her index finger on the side of her nose. "And the last person to do it stacks."
It's like moving to a new country and having to learn all the customs. After filling my plate with salad and mac and cheese, I look at Raph's table, 3 over from mine. Should I go say hi now? Probably not, since he's currently wolfing down his food. Now what? Do I wait for him to talk to me? Do I go over in front of everyone? I don't want to interrupt. What if he just stares at me like I'm crazy? What if he doesn't think we're going to be a couple? What if we spend the entire summer playing the camp equivalent of phone tag and I never talk to him again? I try to control myself and not stare. I don't want all his bunkmates wondering who crazy stalking new girl is. Don't obsess. Don't obsess. Don't obsess.
"Ketchup?" Allison asks me, interrupting my panic.
"No, thanks." Miri puts ketchup on her mac and cheese. I do not, as that is disgusting. By the time I finish eating, Morgan is already halfway through clearing the paper plates and tossing them into the garbage. My sister, the environmentalist, is going to hate that. Suddenly, there's a tap on my shoulder. "Raph?"
"Mary."
"Hi,"
she says. "Move over." I push over so that she can squeeze in beside me.
"Hey, did you like dinner?"
She shakes her head.
"I can't believe how much paper they waste."
"I thought that might annoy you."
"It should bother you too,"
she says, taking a sip of my bug juice. Perhaps, but my brain is too busy being bothered by the fact that Miri can get off her butt to say hello to me, but Raph can't. I mean, I saw Miri this afternoon, and Raph hasn't seen... Raph is standing directly across the table, behind Carly.
"Hey,"
he says. I can't breathe or speak. What is wrong with me? I've been waiting for this day for so long, planning the entire conversation. Really, I have it all scripted in my head. I'll casually flick my glimmering brown tresses over my shoulder and say hello as demurely as possible, and then I'll ask, "What's up?" ever so casually. He'll then declare his undying love for me and grab me in his arms and kiss me so passionately that...
"Rachel, you okay?"
Now is not the time for fantasizing, Rachel. Now is the time to speak up, Rachel. Now is not the time for referring to oneself in the third person, Rachel.
"Hi, Raph,"
I squeak.
"How are you liking your first day of camp?"
"Fun. Cool. Good."
So what if I can manage only one-syllable words? At least I'm speaking. Unfortunately, my entire bunk is intently listening to the conversation.
"Did you like Oscar's mac and cheese?"
he asks.
"Oscar?"
"The chef. He's been the chef for like 20 years.
"Oh, yes. Very cheesy."
"Brilliant, Rachel." Raph waves hello to the girls at the table.
"Hi, ladies."
"So, how long have you two known each other?"
Allison asks, her mouth full.
"Rach and I go way back."
"We hear she knows your brother, too," Morgan says. The edges of Raph's cheeks turn pink. I might have to zap her into a bug. Or even better, bug juice. I can't believe she brought up Will. I can't believe I dated Will, even though it was accidental. I hope Raph won't let all that come between us. I know it would totally weird me out if Raph dated Miri. Oh,
Right. Miri. Raph, have you met my little sister, Miri? He gives her a smile.
Yep. Once. I forgot how much you guys look alike.
That's good, right? Miri's adorable. We blush simultaneously.
I also saw you in the fashion show with Rachel, Miri says,
which leads to an awkward silence since I was, awful in the fashion show. Miri, obviously realizing her faux pas, mutters,
I'd better get back to my table. I promised my counselor I'd only be gone for a minute.
Me too, Raph says.
Hey, Raph, how come you weren't on the bus today? Oh my God, I can't believe I just asked that. A cool person wouldn't have asked that. A cool person wouldn't even have noticed he wasn't on the bus.
I drove up with Will. The counselors had last night off after pre-camp, so he came into the city to see Kat. Anyway, I'll see you later, Rach.
I love that he's calling me Rach. Cool. Later. Later. I'm going to see Raph later. I'm not even going to obsess over what he meant by later. I'm going to be cool. La, 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 la. But did he mean later, like in 5 minutes, later tomorrow, or later as in he'll stop by to say goodbye in the last day of camp?